Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Lap Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with joy. They have joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
I am, of course, Mark Unger.
Well, doggy.
Joining me, as always, is the lovely and charming Diane Brierley.
What have I done to deserve this?
And, of course, the incomparable Ross Allen Skorzewski. Still recovering, coming back from his trip to, where was it again?
Joplin, Missouri.
I can't even remember this name.
Joplin, Missouri.
In his stead, we've had two wonderful volunteers who actually went out of their way to come all the way from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Are you nuts?
Apparently they are. Mark and Kelsey have joined us for this our final show with them. And if you ever are so inclined to want to come spend a day with us, if you're crazy enough to do it, you can spend the day with us. We'd love to have you. Spend some time. Get to know you. We'll take you to lunch. We'll take care of you. It'll be fun. It'll be great fun. So just contact us at radio@markgunger.com, and we'll see if we can work that out for you. This is the show that handles all of your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markgunger.com. The show is being engineered, as always, by the incomparable Timothy Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this show. This is how the show works. You can send us an email about anything. Nothing is off limits. Here's the rules. You get to be totally anonymous. We, in turn, are brutally honest, which means we might hurt your feelings sometimes. So if you're super, 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 uber sensitive and you have emotional owies, don't email this show. This isn't the show for you. This show is not about your self-esteem. Highly unlikely if you email us, you'll feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
Because we don't care about that. If you don't care about that, you just want to know the truth, how to fix things, send it to us. We'll give you our best shot. Now, we can only play off of the email. Sometimes we read the emails wrong, or the way you write it, we might come up with a different conclusion and totally go off on a direction that really has nothing to do with your situation. Well, just send us another email and clarify. Don't take it personally. We're not talking to you. Really, all of you people who email us, you have to understand, we're not talking to you.
We're talking to the situation.
We're talking to the situation and millions of people who think like you.
Yes.
That's all it is. I don't know
that.
Why they can't get this. This isn't about you. Someone says, la, 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 and then we'll go
nothing
off on
personal.
Something. The reason we're going so off is because there's millions of people who do the same stupid thing. You say, well, that's not what I meant. Okay, well, then we're not talking to you. We're talking about this particular situation. Anyway, another exercise in futility as I try to explain what it is that we do.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Okay, the article today.
Wait.
Oops,
I didn't push my Pee Wee Herman button. We can't possibly begin until we have the proper button.
Good. We can finally start the big meeting.
Let's begin, shall we? Shall we?
We shall.
There, now we can begin.
No, we can
I feel
can
much
commence.
Better now because you hate to not quite do everything right.
Really? Really?
Quiet, right. Woman! Quiet! Quiet over there!
Get back, witch!
Yeah, right. I was waiting for that.
Okay.
From Fox News, this article says, when does flirting become cheating? 9 red flags.
9 red flags.
Playful bantering or gentle flirting with someone outside of your marriage is harmless if proper boundaries remain intact.
So there's proper flirting. Maybe we should have proper flirting classes.
And improper. But boundaries differ with each relationship, of course. What would be considered a violation in one marriage might be perfectly acceptable for another couple. Difference of opinions even occur within a marriage. For example, I know a woman who recently asked her husband to either give her his Facebook password or close out his account after she found an email that he had sent to a former classmate that she found to be rather suggestive. He disagreed and thought that it was perfectly appropriate.
Okay, but something about, here's a woman. She's a confident woman. She says, I want the password or close out the account.
Yes.
He didn't like it, but I doubt she did backed off. I want the password or the I will be able to see it. What you're doing.
Yeah.
Most Christian
and
women go, oh, I don't know. You know, should I talk to the pastor? I should just keep supporting him. What should I do? And you put up with this bad behavior. Here's a lady who has a clue.
And even
password, jack, or shut it.
He thought it was appropriate. I wonder how the argument went, and I wonder what the consequence was if he thought it was appropriate and didn't give her the password or shut it down.
Any woman who starts out with shut it down or the password, I promise you, was not swayed.
Oh, no. I'm sure she wasn't either.
He disagreed and thought it was perfect. Of course he thought it was perfectly appropriate.
Of course
he's flirting.
Did. Yes.
Don't put up with it. Okay.
Okay. The problem is you don't actually recognize that you're growing closer to someone on the internet because it just looks like you're having a conversation. And that's why I think it could be really seductive in some ways, this expert is saying. They believe that cyber cheating is especially appealing to women because they can get their emotional needs met behind a computer in the comfort of their home.
Just like a lot of guys try to get their sexual needs from a computer.
Yes. Nope. However, many polls indicate that seemingly harmless online friendships often develop into intense emotional and physical affairs that can devastate marriages. Recent research has indicated that online cheating usually leads to physical encounters. So when does flirting cross that invisible line from innocent bantering to dangerous dialogue? Number one. When it's secretive.
Secretive. That's number one.
If you are deleting your emails either to her or from her, that's a big red flag. Because by deleting them, you are guessing that your spouse would be upset if she read them and that you are covering up something. Moreover, ask yourself this question. How would I feel if I knew my wife or husband was corresponding to an attractive man in the way that I talk to so-and-so? If you feel uncomfortable...
An attractive man like me.
Yes, yes. If you feel an uncomfortable knot in your stomach upon answering this question, there you go.
All right.
Number two, if it has a sexual agenda.
Number two.
This isn't always obvious, of course, but if you notice that your correspondence with this person feeds your sexual fantasies, because an affair is often about sexual fantasy, then you are probably in dangerous waters. If the communication consists of subtle sexual overtones, watch out. If it feels like foreplay in any way, that's not good.
Do you think?
Yeah, think.
Number three.
If you're spending a considerable amount of time talking to him or her, according to marriage therapist Allison P., a person needs to consider not only the content of the messages sent back and forth, but also the amount of them. For example, if you're emailing a friend 15 times a day, that's a tad extreme, even if the content is about SpongeBob SquarePants. A friend of mine confessed to me...
SpongeBob.
You do. A friend of mine confessed to me that she would spend 2 hours every night on Facebook.
No.
Really?
It's a weird show.
It's highly entertaining.
What are you on drugs when you watch it?
I got grandkids.
Yes. It's very weird.
You've seen SpongeBob, obviously. Okay.
It's a weird show.
It's a nice show.
It's a weird show.
It's a true story.
Yeah. I'm sure it is.
It's based on an actual sponge.
Oh, right.
Yes, because yellow sponges talk.
Yeah, see, she knows.
See, she knows. She knows. All right.
To this day, when we ask our kids if they want a cheeseburger or hamburger, it's, what do they call those things that they were serving?
Krabby Patties.
Krabby Patty. You want a Krabby Patty? Yeah. No, yeah. You want cheese on your Krabby Patty? My wife does that.
Cheese on your Krabby Patty. Okay.
Call them Krabby Patty.
Anyhow.
Sorry.
A friend of mine confessed to me that she would spend 2 hours every night on Facebook chatting with an online buddy until she realized that was more time than she was spending with her husband.
Do you think?
2 hours with somebody and you don't even spend it with your spouse? What the heck?
And they haven't said anything?
Yeah, you wonder about that, don't you? Number four, if you are rationalizing, he's just a friend, is a statement that you don't say to yourself when you're involved in innocent communication. Do you feel the need to justify a very safe friendship? No. It's obvious to you and to your mate that the companionship is completely appropriate. However, you may very well be investing in an unsafe friendship if you are constantly wrestling with guilt or feel the need to rationalize.
Number five.
If it's meeting your personal needs, if you are getting your intimacy needs met in an online relationship or with a coworker with whom you playfully banter, you might stop to ask yourself why. Be especially why?
What's the significance?
I don't know. Be especially careful.
She's looking like she doesn't know.
I'm waiting for you to. There it is.
What?
Wait, that's not it. Where is it? Where's that one? Oh, here we go. Sorry.
Why? What's the significance? I don't know.
There.
Be especially careful if you're sharing intimate sentiments with that person that you don't share with your husband, or if you feel like your online companion understands you in a way that your spouse doesn't. Be on guard if you are getting fed in any way by him or her that you don't at home.
Mm-hmm.
Better to address the holes in your life and fill them in safe ways, even if you can't within your marriage.
Better to address the holes in your socks.
Keep in mind.
Or the holes in your underwear.
Yes. Okay. Number six, if you talk about your marriage or your spouse,
that's
it's
almost a
dead giveaway.
Dead giveaway. The minute you start talking about your marriage
and
with someone
and
else,
he doesn't understand me and she's not there for me.
In Cacasville. Yes.
It's disrespectful to share intimate details about your marriage or your spouse, and especially in a discourteous manner or with a flip attitude.
Yeah, but they're missing the point. Yes. It's not about disrespect. Shouldn't do it.
No, because now he knows I'm just trying to help her. She's having a hard time in her marriage.
He
just needs somebody to understand
almost
him.
You have to cross that line before you head for an affair, always.
Yes. Number seven.
If you refuse to cross that line, it's much safer.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk ever about your marriage to anybody else like this.
Opposite sex.
Yep.
Seven. If your spouse doesn't like it, you have just won a red flag if your husband or wife has expressed disapproval of your communications with X, because it usually means that either the content of the correspondence or the amount of it is off balance, that the interaction isn't totally appropriate, or the time spent talking online or offline with the person is distracting from family life. Number eight, if your friend voices concern, pay attention if a good friend asks you why you are talking about this person so much, or if she says something like, wake up, you're married, he's married, you need to focus on what you have and stop obsessing about what you don't. Friends, sisters, and mothers can often identify the red flags before a person is willing to recognize them herself.
Mm-hmm.
And number nine, if your intentions are wrong.
If your intentions are wrong.
Well, let's say
nobody thinks their intentions are wrong.
No.
They're going to commit it. People in adultery don't think what they're doing is even wrong.
No, they don't.
Was that kind
you don't
of
have
weird
a clear
one?
View
mean?
Of that. Okay.
Doesn't that come back to rationalizing?
I think so.
Indeed, yes.
Let's say your wife is constantly knocking you down, nagging at you, telling you to lose 20 pounds because she didn't intend
talking to my wife.
Marry a beached whale. The natural.
They've been talking to my wife for the study.
Yes, that's right. The natural or at least easy thing to do is to find an attractive woman who will feed your ego and tell you that you're sexy, funny, smart, and so on.
Hard to find that, though.
That is.
At my age.
Some folks may unconsciously seek out
it's
an admirer.
It's hard when you're a middle-aged, balding Puerto Rican.
Some people intentionally go to find an admirer or just to make their spouse jealous. It can be effective, but it's also manipulative. There are healthier ways to increase your self-esteem and regain the power that you have lost in your own home.
You think?
Much better ways.
If it's secretive, if it's sexual, if you're spending a lot of time, if you're rationalizing stuff in your head, you're getting your needs met, you start talking about your marriage, your spouse doesn't like it, your friends are warning you, you are headed for
a train wreck.
Hail. H-A-I-L. Hail. And there you have it. All right. Well, we will take your emails right after this break, so we'll be back. Don't go away.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to radio@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows. One hour a day of Mark, not enough? Why not take him with you? Each of Mark's audio CD series are at least 4 hours of Bible teaching, laughing, and learning that you can listen to wherever you are, at work, in your car, or at home. Topics include men and women.
We live in a culture that's completely clueless and believes in all kinds of nonsense. You need to know something. The key to a successful marriage is not finding the right person. It's doing the right thing.
Family issues.
Men need to be involved with their children. Children need the challenge and the risk that men offer to them.
And even verse-by-verse Bible studies. All with Mark Gunger's humor and sometimes outrageous take on the subject at hand. To see all of the series available and order your copy today, log on to laughyourway.com or call 866-52-LAUGH. Order now at laughyourway.com. If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Now, when a woman is stressed out, she has to talk about it. If she doesn't talk about it, her brain will literally explode.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Got every single thing that makes up my wildest dreams. Sometimes I still can't quite believe she's holding me, 'cause she got it all, my heart, my soul, my wishes, all of my love, my hugs, my kisses, everything that means anything at all.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show as we're listening to emails being read by Diane Brierley, because, as we all know, she has it all.
That's right. Never forget that. Okay.
That's a kiss up if you ever heard one. Huh?
Yeah. And like, I really buy your blow? I don't think so.
All right.
Okay, this email says, Mark, you hold the positions that A, people are stupid for trying to wait forever to get married and have sex, long engagements, dating for years, etc., because they will fail. Mm-hmm. And B, position B, divorced people with kids should wait to remarry until the kids are grown and leave the house. Mm-hmm. I agree that in an ideal world, these would be ideal positions to hold. But for a divorced person with kids and a high sex drive, how are they going to wait years and years burning with passion to have sex and not stumble? Would this not go against the teachings of Paul, Mr. Anti-Marriage, regarding getting married rather than burning with passion? Paul doesn't say, if you have kids, just sit there and burn. How about the Old Testament rules regarding marrying a deceased brother's wife?
I tell you what Paul said. You won't like this. Paul said that a woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives.
That's right.
Don't get divorced in the first place, sweetheart.
Paul was not addressing divorced people. He was addressing never married people.
That's what he's talking about.
How can you, Mark, understand what it's really like to burn with passion since you have been married your entire adult life?
And I've been married my entire life. I was born married.
And you have never gone years without sex. Uh-huh. I understand kids complicate the equation, but they are only part of the equation. Unfortunately, kids are not some magical antidote to a high sex drive. Uh-huh. Also, and this is a bit of a tangent, I get that children need to be a high priority. However, isn't making kids feel like the absolute center of a parent's universe, married or divorced, a formula for creating self-centered, narcissistic kids? If it's a hot day, feel free to swirly me, he says.
Why do you care what I think? That's all I can think. People call up and just start chewing me out. Why do you care? I listen to idiots all the time. I don't write them.
I agree.
I just think they're idiots. Why you feel compelled to write me? My advice is, this is why you don't get divorced in the first place. Mm-hmm. But once you're divorced and you have children, look, if it was an answer, I'd say, you know what? Here's an answer. You know how we always talk about at work, you know, like the 3 o'clock slump?
Yep.
Right? The 3 o'clock. Here's my solution. Snort cocaine.
Hey, that would work. I'd feel a lot better.
Because you'll feel a lot better. Well, you shouldn't sort of. Well, it's easy for you to say, Mister. You're perky all the time.
You don't have to make it till 5 o'clock.
Yeah, you don't have to make it till 5 o'clock. I got to make it till 5 o'clock. Why can't I snort cocaine? Look, I know you want to get a pick me up. I know you're tired. I know all these kind of things. I understand it. But snorting cocaine is not an answer. Okay? What you don't get, he thinks the answer is to get married again. You getting married again, your chance of ending in divorce increases dramatically. You'll just wind up getting divorced again.
Okay, so here's back to your cocaine analogy. So you snort cocaine, it makes you feel better. There are a whole nother boatload of problems that follow along snorting cocaine.
That's why you don't do it.
There are a whole nother boatload of problems. You're trying to solve one, your sex drive problem, but you're taking on a rat's nest of a whole nother problems.
Yes.
You know, people think that, well, if I just do this, it'll solve my problem. I get divorced, it'll solve my problem. If I get remarried and get to have sex, it solves the problem. But what you're doing is gaining a lot more problems and worse problems than just a high sex drive and feeling bad because you can't get any. You're gaining a whole rat's nest.
That's the whole deal.
Especially if they have a bunch of kids.
Blended families are extremely, extremely complicated.
Here's a story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls.
And she had a sex drive.
All of them had hair of gold, like their mother, the youngest one in curls.
And she had to meet that sex drive.
Here's the story of a man named Brady.
And he was really, really horny because he had a big sex drive.
Three boys of his own.
What are you gonna do?
There were four men living all together.
You know the Brady Bunch.
Yet they were all alone. Till the one day when the lady met this fellow.
Oh, we could hear a sex drive.
And they knew that it was much more than a hunch.
Oh, it's gonna be awesome.
That this group
was somehow
it's gonna be fabulous.
That's the way we all became the Brady Bunch. The Brady Bunch. The Brady Bunch. That's the way we became the Brady Bunch.
So funny. It's going to be great. We won't have any more problems.
Not true.
You have all kinds of problems. Dude, that's what I'm trying to get you to. I get it. You having a wife would help you deal with your sex drive.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got other problems. You've got children. You've got how old are his kids?
Six. I did ask some more information. 6 and 10. And I asked him how long he's been divorced. And his divorce, he said, has been almost a year in process, but they're not even finalized. They're in a custody battle.
Dude, you're not even.
So here's
a solution for you. Why don't you try and save your marriage?
Yeah.
Why don't you stop the divorce process and try and save your marriage?
His wife did have an affair, and she's refused to completely give up the affair. So, I mean, that might be a little hard to...
Okay, well, in that case, you got
to
move on. Okay, that I get.
But he's lamenting that he has to mean no sex for 12 years if I have to wait for my 6-year-old to reach 18.
All right, do whatever you want. But when you're going through hell, and you're going through the second divorce, and you're having these huge fights over your children and her children, just remember, I warned you. That's all.
People have no idea how difficult it is. They really, really don't. They have just big old fat blinders on their eyes. They do not get it.
Yeah. I'd still try and see if you can't save the marriage.
Yeah.
Try and reason with her. Do what you can. Trust God. Fast and pray, man.
It'll be better for you, for her, and especially for your children if you can save this marriage, if you can pull it from the fire.
If people would just realize how traumatizing this is for their children, they wouldn't do it. But they don't pay attention.
And then they'll be further traumatized when they're thrown into this other family with other kids. And just because you want to have sex?
Yeah, seriously.
I have a hard time with that.
Look, I get wanting to have sex. I like having sex.
That's why you stay married.
It's on my top 10. My top 10 list of things Marky enjoys doing. It's pretty close right up there at number one. So I get wanting to, but no one's ever died for not having sex. Okay? Mm-hmm. And it's another thing when you're a single young person and you know you can't have it. That's why Paul says don't mess around, just get married.
He's addressing a different audience.
He's talking
Paul
to a whole
was not
dude.
Talking to divorced people.
He's not talking to you.
He was not.
You're saying, well, my sex life is going to... Yeah, you're going to be pretty uncomfortable at times, but you'll be fine. You won't die.
Nope.
If this was an easy answer, I'd say, oh, yeah, just blend another family together. Do the Brady Bunch thing, and people who do it really have a great time and it's really a high success rate. And well, yeah.
But it's not. The statistics are so dismal.
It's very, very bad. It's very bad. I'm just not. Yeah, I can lie to you. Let's pretend, you know.
And tell you, yes, do what makes you happy because it'll be the answer.
No problem. It'll be great. It's not great.
It's not great at all.
Try and save your marriage, man. That'll be the easiest thing you can do. I promise you, the rat hole you're going down.
That's
is
a very
not.
Good point because, like, what he's going through with this divorce, I'm sure he thinks it's the worst thing he's ever been through. But I'm telling you, dude, saving this marriage is going to be easier than what you face if you try to blend a family. Honestly, it will not be more difficult to save this marriage.
Yeah, they don't get it.
Mm-mm.
They just don't get it. They don't believe us. He doesn't believe me. No. He doesn't believe you. Hopefully, somebody else believes us. All right.
Okay, this is just a little follow-up comment to another show. First, I want to say I enjoy your show. I've been married 20-plus years and never thought I was a bad husband until I started listening.
Oh, that's great. So many people feel like crap everywhere. I listened to your show. I felt good to listen to your show, and I feel terrible.
Maybe you gave him some unrealistic expectations like we were talking about before. I have found some things I need to work on. Not only that, but I encourage my wife and daughter to listen to the show to be more butt-kicking. Thank you for all the time and effort that each of you gives freely to help others.
Wow, thanks.
Now, on a prior show, a woman commented that a man she was interested in claimed to be a conservative Christian but was not saved. Do you remember that? The guy.
Yes. How do you do that?
I don't know, but I had somebody tell me that they were an atheist because they were angry with God. And I had to look at him. Do you understand the word?
Do you understand
do you
what
know
you
what
just
atheists
said?
Mean? I'm an atheist because I'm mad at God.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah,
that's an oxymoron if I've ever heard one.
Public education for you. Just
yeah. So this guy was a conservative
if
Christian,
no
but
God,
wasn't saved.
How can you be mad at him?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, when this lady wrote in, you told her to dump his butt. I think you jumped the gun on that because it might be a difference in semantics. My brother-in-law goes to a non-denominational church that believes you have to be born again or saved. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a mainstream Protestant denomination. I was baptized at birth and am saved by grace. But my brother-in-law's church, by my brother-in-law's church's definition, I am not born again or saved. I'm just saying that the man's comment might have been accurate based on what each of them believe is required to be saved.
I'm a conservative Christian, but I'm not saved. Look, either you're saved or you're not, dude. And don't say your denomination teaches it. I'll tell you who taught it. Jesus taught it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, if you are not born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. If you're telling me you're a good Christian, you go to church and you follow the rules, but you've never been born again, you got a problem.
Yes.
And not with my denomination. You got a problem with Jesus, dude. So, but I understand what he's trying to say.
Yes.
With the semantic
thing. It might
thing.
Just be a difference of meaning of words.
But if you understand the Bible, you handle those semantics pretty easily.
No. Right.
You're saying, I believe in Jesus, I just don't want to be born again. Oh, that doesn't make any sense, my friend. You need to be born again.
Brand new and available now on DVD, Manly Man 3, Time to Man Up. In this third year of the conference, Mark Gunger, comedian Ken Davis, Ed Gunger, and Paul Coughlin challenge men to stop being passive and become courageous leaders among their family and friends.
I think it's amazing. I've been sitting backstage watching this, and I think I get it. We have been neutered. Am I wrong? That isn't the sad part. We volunteered for it.
Order your Manly Man 3 DVD with over 6 hours of both hilarious and serious sessions giving men practical tools to become the man of God he's called them to be. Visit us online at laughyourway.com or call 866-525-2844. Don't wait. Order your copy today at laughyourway.com.
Do you want to discover the heart of your child and who God created them to be? Laugh Your Way America is excited to introduce the Kids Flag Page. This fun and interactive game will help you discover the unique way God wired your child. Find the key things that motivate them and learn what they love most about life. This colorful and engaging activity set will help your child see who they are at their very best and will teach you how to bring out the best in your child. Each Kids Flag Page game comes with everything you need to complete 3 Kids Flag Pages. Designed for children ages 4 to 11, the Kids Flag Page is a fun way for moms and dads to interact with their kids and truly discover the heart of each child. To order your game, go to www.laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Well, I got a woman.
Oh, yeah.
Way over town.
Other side of town.
That's good to me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got a woman.
He's got a woman.
Way over town.
Far side of town.
Good to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She give me money.
Come on.
When I'm in need.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, she's a kind of friend indeed. I got a woman.
He's got a woman.
Way over town.
Down.
That's good to me. Oh, yeah.
You listen to the Mark Gunger Show because we are good to you. Actually, we're pretty mean to you. But
yeah, we're not good. But I like how you say we.
We.
You drag me into we. This all
hey,
the time.
I'm the compassionate one here.
Mm-hmm. You sure are. Okay, the subject line of this email is one angry, in capital letters, wife.
One angry wife.
Yes.
Just one?
Apparently.
Wait a minute, I gotta play some angry wife music here.
I've been married for 2 years, and I've had 2 babies during that time. During my last pregnancy, my husband had an affair.
Ooh.
I was 7 months pregnant when I found out. He denied and denied until I played him his own voicemail with a message she left for him. He then said, I didn't sleep with her. I don't think I will ever believe that. My gut says that they did more than just kiss. I can't begin to tell you how hurt and angry I am with him for some reason, and for some reason with God. My husband cheated on me while we dated, and now I'm angry with myself. I married him having full trust.
Okay, all right, hold it, hold that. Young lady over there, you listening to me? Do you see what's wrong with this picture? She says that when she was dating him, he cheated on her. Then the silly girl marries the moron. Now she's complaining because he cheated on her. If some guy is cheating on you, sweetheart, when you dump his butt. You get away from him. If he proves he's a piece of crap right up front, you don't marry him. So here's a lady who knows the guy is a piece of horse manure. And she marries him anyway.
And interestingly enough, she
says... And now she's shocked. He commits adultery.
I married him having full trust. How? How? How do you marry someone having full trust
when he cheated on you when you were dating?
Anyway, she says, and I guess foolish me with the belief that he would not ever cheat on his wife. I should have known better.
Oh, okay, wait, stop the music. There's where we have the... It'll change once we're married.
Yes.
See, once we're married
he won't
look
cheat
at porn
on
anymore. He won't chase other women anymore. He won't do all these things anymore. He won't lie and do all this other kind of stuff. Once we're married,
I have a full head of hair.
That's the lie. Kelsey, that's the lie. They think you will have girlfriends that are just dumb as bricks because they're everywhere. Who will do stuff like this? And they'll think, well, but we're going to get married. Yeah, but look out for, look what he did. Yeah, but we're going to get married. They think that when they get married, something magical happens that transforms them into another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
That they no longer live on planet Earth. They get pulled off onto Venus somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't change.
Well, she does say, I should have known better. He's always been a cheater.
Do you think?
You should have, honey.
All right, what else you got to say?
I feel like I have to live a lie now for the sake of my children. I do not like their dad at all, but I have to show I love him. I don't want them being raised in 2 homes with 2 families. I have anger, disgust, insecurity, and so much hurt inside, it's crazy. I went to my pastor for help. He got my husband to go to church every Sunday, and my husband has been putting a lot of effort in, but it's not enough. I feel that it will never be enough because I still have these horrible feelings towards him and myself. I'm so mad at myself because I feel like this is my fault. Why did I forgive his actions when we were dating and take him back and marry him?
That's my question.
Yes. My husband is a great dad. He does not want to separate, and honestly, we're together because of him. I know it would be bad if we split our family apart, but I feel like he did it first, and I can do bad on my own better, if that makes any sense. I don't know how this is going to work with me feeling the way I do and he feeling like what he does is never good enough and that he can't be honest with me anymore because I will chop his head off.
Apparently. I don't think it's the head you should be chopping off. You're thinking of the wrong head. That one should be chopping off.
Oh, my gracious. She says, I feel too hurt and emotionally exhausted to believe anybody. I actually think I'm feeling really depressed for the first time in my life. However, I have these little voices in my head all the time that I've heard nothing is impossible for God. God wants to give me a strong marriage. So seriously, with the last drop of hope in me, I'm hoping that you will use what God has taught you and verbalize some type of sense of direction for me. Thank you.
I think you should play the song every time he walks in the house.
Well, apparently it sounds like he's really trying and that he knows that.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Okay, so we've already railed on her for being a dork and marrying a guy who cheated on her in the first place. But having said that, you married him. Mm-hmm. You made a commitment to him. He committed adultery to you. You are ticked. He knows you are ticked. Mm-hmm. You talk to your pastor. He's going to church. He's trying to make it right. Now you want to be full of unforgiveness? Now you want to give up? I'm telling you, some people are just nuts.
Yes.
She would forgive him when he cheated before, when he wasn't being serious with God.
But now, when
he's wanting to get serious with God, now she can't forgive him.
And now they have two kids, and now is the time you need to forgive
him.
Now, when you had no kids,
you could forgive him. Now you got kids, you can't forgive him.
Now it's when you're under the umbrella of the marriage vows, for better, for worse, and all of that, and this is worse, and for your kids, you need to try to get past it.
She lives in Alice in Wonderland. Everything's upside down. Yeah. What's up is down. What's down is up. What's big is small. What's small is big. Mm-hmm. You got Cheshire cats. You got all kinds of, you know, big worms smoking dope. You got all kinds. She lives in an alternate universe. Now that he's trying to get right with God, now you can't forgive him. Now that you have children, now you can't forgive him.
Now should be the easier time to forgive this than when you were dating him.
At some point, the stupid has to stop. We get it. What you did was dumb, but you did it. But you could forgive him then, but you can't forgive him now. Are you crazy? You need to walk this through. You need to forgive. You have to forgive him.
No matter what.
Even if you divorce his butt, you still have to forgive him. You're a Christian.
And if you can forgive him and you have to anyway, forgive him and save your marriage, especially for your children's sake.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to have to forgive him one way or another.
You got to forgive him either way. It's not like it's an option for a Christian. Oh, I don't have to forgive him.
Yeah, you do.
Or you can die and go to hell. That's always the other option. Kind of a lovely option.
See, and if you can forgive him, you should be able to stay married to him.
People don't understand this. Jesus basically taught, if you won't forgive, you're going to hell. That's in essence what he said. Mm-hmm. So Christians said, well, I don't know if I can forgive. Seriously?
Well, then have fun roasting weenies in hell.
bring some bratwurst to hell because you're going to have a lot of time to roast them. I mean, seriously? You're a Christian and now you can't forgive? So this lady's messed up. She's upset. As messed up as you were going into your marriage, you still are now. Yeah. That's what you don't understand. When you shouldn't have forgiven, you did. When you shouldn't have made the commitment, you did.
Yeah.
Now when you should keep the commitment, you don't want to. Mm-hmm. Now when you should forgive, you don't want to. When you didn't have a reason to forgive, you did. Okay. Now you have a reason your two children to forgive, now you won't. Are you getting a picture here, lady?
Backwards.
You might as well just stand on your head because you're completely upside down. Now is the time to make this right. Now is the time to get right with God, to get right with him. You got a man who's finally coming to church. He's trying to get his heart right with God. I'm sure he has issues. You're going to have to work him through it. But you sign up for this, eyes open. Don't now claim you can't handle it when before you could.
And to all of you dating and single people, if they're going to mess around on you before, they're going to mess around on you after. You need to run, run, run.
Absolutely.
Okay, this email says, I have been listening to your podcast lately and have enjoyed the lunacy, laughter, and insight they bring.
Lunacy? I'm insulted!
Sure you are. We married young, had a large family, homeschooled, and had one of our daughters marry young, so it has been very encouraging to have someone support these things where the world, and sadly some in the church, keeps trying to knock you down for the very same things.
That's right.
That said, our 18-year-old daughter is engaged to a young man soon to be 19. I mean, it's their 19-year-old daughter and the guy soon to be 19, who is currently in the Marine Corps boot camp. Both are serious, committed Christians. From the beginning of their relationship over a year ago, physical contact has been limited by us because we know the ramifications of not holding the limits. For example, they're holding hands was allowed after they were engaged. This is pretty strict. No front-on hugging, although in my own emotional waffling, they have a few times. They also had to be properly chaperoned at all times. Dating consisted of double dates with us, attending church with us as a family, spending time at our house, and a few times at his house. Both kids still live at home. Our reasoning was explained to them so that they would understand why we were setting these limits, because we know where it leads and we want to spare them the consequences and potential heartache. We also place the bulk of the responsibility for following these limits on his shoulders, as even though they are both responsible for their actions, as head of the household and spiritual leader in their relationship, he is held more accountable. For obvious reasons, the physical contact issue pops up occasionally. You think? 19 years old? Either them pushing the limits, i.e. sitting in the same chair while watching a movie or sitting in front of him with his arms around her, or him asking me if he can hug her, which this is just crazy to me that there would be a boy that would even do that. But they are very tenderhearted toward God and us and very respectful and responsive to our wishes and reprimands. And we understand how hard it is to keep these emotions and feelings and urges at bay. They are getting married 6 days after he graduates from boot camp while he is home on leave. I have a few concerns about how we should proceed during the week before the wedding. After not seeing each other or even hearing each other's voices for 3 months and knowing they will very shortly be husband and wife, I know there will be a strong desire on their part for physical contact, although I know they will initially show restraint and ask if they can only hug. My questions for y'all are, first off, has this been too extreme from the get-go?
What, the rules?
Yes.
Your rules are your rules. It's fine. I don't think it's
if it works and your kids are following it, okay. Should we limit it to only hand-holding during their last week before marriage?
Whatever you're comfortable with. Your rules are your rules. I mean,
because is it going to be...
You don't need me to validate your rules.
She says, is it going to be too strong a temptation to let them hug when they first see each other again?
Yeah, but look, they've been doing it right to this point. It's highly unlikely that all of a sudden they're going to come home and with a week to go, they're going to get naked and start having sex.
Yeah. Well, especially if they're just around you and their time alone is limited. If you just I think if you limit the time they're alone, it's going to solve the problem.
It's one thing when you can't have sex and you want to be together, so you have sex anyway. It's another thing if you know you can have sex in 10 days.
Yeah. Or 6 days, as
they're six days. Why do you think they're going to get naked now?
I don't know. Well, and if they're off running alone off together, but you haven't even allowed that up to this point.
She's asking, am I too extreme?
Yeah.
Probably only because people put their viewpoints in the best possible light on paper.
Right. But if this is working and they followed it all along.
But my point is, if she's that paranoid that they're going to have sex in 6 days, you might be a little nuts. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're 6 days out. Why would they do this? If they've been doing right to this point, he asked permission to hug your daughter?
I've never heard of that before.
I mean, he's a pretty straight-up guy.
Yeah.
Do you trust the guy or not?
Like, all of a sudden, he's just going to go crazy, wacko, psychosexual, and be all over your daughter? And all of this time, he hasn't? I kind of doubt it.
Yeah, it seems a little odd to me. I'm more concerned that he's going to say, I do, and then take off. Is he going to take off right away? Is that what he said?
Well, he's coming home from boot camp and then is on leave. So then does he, I suppose, gets established and
not deployed. Oh, but then she'd go live with him.
She would go live with him and be an army wife.
Yeah, cool.
That's what I'm reading into it.
I think it'll be fine.
And they can go off and... You even got the right song.
What's that?
You even got the right song.
Of course it's the right
Marine
song.
Corps
March.
It's also the NC State theme song.
Is it?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
It's the NC State theme song.
It is?
Yeah.
They use the same tune. Well, yeah. Different words, obviously.
I only know because I used it in Frank or The Office. I set it as the new email notification for a Carolina fan.
Oh, really?
Probably didn't like that.
And I got blamed on somebody else who, once he figured out what was happening, just started sending emails as fast as he could send it.
You got someone else involved. And he's a Marine. I mean, he's got to be pretty disciplined after going through boot camp.
I would think.
I would think that it would be fine.
I got a banjo version of it somewhere. Where is it?
No, that's crazy. It's like Deliverance visits the Marine Corps. What's that?
There's some combinations that just don't belong together.
No, not at all.
Deliverance.
Not at all.
I disagree.
A banjo version of the Marine Corps? Him? Come on.
The banjo's a fine instrument, but...
I love the banjo.
I love the banjo, too, but not on that song. Come on.
Oh, you two are psycho.
It made
Foggy
you laugh.
Foggy Mountain Breakdown? Okay. Yeah. But, you know...
At least it made you laugh. There you are.
Oh, banjo's a great instrument. You guys get a lot of banjo down North Carolina, don't you?
And then we start running.
I love North Carolina, man.
I've never seen that movie Deliverance. I know there's a billion references to it, and I know what they're referring to.
I know, yes.
But I've never seen it.
Look, between Deliverance and Cape Fear.
Oh, I've seen Cape Fear.
Cape Fear I've seen. That was
creepy. That gives y'all a bad name down there, too.
Yeah. We live on the Cape Fear River.
You do?
Oh, do you really?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a creepy movie.
Yeah. I love North Carolina.
I have never been there. I've driven through, but it was at nighttime.
Beautiful. It's an absolutely beautiful place. Trees forever.
Forever.
It is just, you know, we say we're Green Bay. These people way do more green than we got, man. They're as green as far as you can see. The only problem with North Carolina is the summer gets so hot.
Well, you said, what, 70-some percent humidity?
Yeah, 70-something humidity.
100-some degree.
Wow,
that's hot.
Yeah.
And day after day after day of it.
Oh, yeah.
Not like here where we get a week or so, but...
But when we're freezing to death miserably.
Yes. They're real nice.
Carolina
they're lovely.
Is gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
We're going, man, it's only 60 degrees.
We hate you.
We hate you. We hate you. We mean in the possible
nicest way. We hate you in the nicest way.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Do you want to take a break?
I like North Carolina. It's great. We're talking about North Carolina. Why would you want a break?
I don't know.
We're talking about North Carolina.
I'm the timekeeper here.
Okay. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more of North Carolina right after this.
Find yourself missing episodes of The Mark Gunger Show? No need to worry. Go to iTunes.com and download all of our podcasts, which are made available free to you, our loyal listener. Join Mark and co-hosts as they continue to discuss any and all issues concerning life, love, and marriage.
She's a pastor's wife and a jail chaplain. The Debbie Chavez Show.
My delight now to re-welcome to our program the author of that best-selling book, The Five Love Languages, Gary Chapman.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
The Debbie Chavez Show.
Best-selling author, Stormy O'Mardian.
Hi, Debbie.
The Debbie Chavez Show.
And so what I've learned from so many of my guests and what I've learned from my life experience of trial and error is that we have an enemy of our souls, that would be the devil, who loves to lie to us, and we buy the lies. He's the one that whispers in your ear, you know, all guys watch pornography. It's normal. It'll be okay. It's not hurting anybody. Or maybe the enemy whispers into your ear, you really need to eat that chocolate cake. You really need to have that order of french fries. Just drive through the drive-thru at McDonald's. It'll make you so happy. You've had a rough day. It's a big, fat, stinking lie. Let's be smart here and examine the thoughts that we entertain in our minds. Is that thought really from God, or is it from the enemy? And if it's from the enemy, kick it out.
The Debbie Chavez Show, streaming daily at faithplace.org.
My sport is football, but my passion is education. My name is Nnamdi Asamoah, and this is how I live United. I see too many kids miss out on moving up. Kids who could go on to college, but just need that extra little push. So every year, I take promising high school students on a college tour. We check out the dorms, the library, meet some professors, find out where the best late-night grub stops are. It shows them that there's a whole world beyond their own. But what's even better is that most of these kids decide college is for them. I'm Nnamdi Asamoah. I show kids that a higher education means a brighter future. So when it comes to living united, I don't just wear the shirt, I live it. Join me.
It takes all of us working together to make a difference. Find out how you can live united for education. Give, advocate, volunteer. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Well, ask anybody, I'm a pretty good guy, and it looks decent, wagon didn't pass me by. There ain't nothing in my past that I'm trying hard to hide, and I don't understand why, I gotta wonder why. What's a guy gotta do to get a girl in this town? I wanna be alone when the sun goes down, just a sweet little something to put my arms around. What's a guy gotta do to get a girl in this town?
It's Mark from Fayetteville's theme song.
What's what's a guy gotta do to get a girl in this town?
Move to another town eventually.
Yeah, that's what you gotta do. He's from Carolina.
Butterflies all flutter up and kiss each little buttercup at dawning.
You know who that is?
If I had a land lamp for only a day.
Mammy.
Al Joseph.
I love you, Mammy. Yeah.
And here's what I say. Nothing could be finer than being in Carolina in the morning.
Anyway, we're in the morning here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, with our friends from Fayetteville, Mark and Kelsey, brother and sister, who came all the way to do the shows with us. This is our last day, and thank you for coming here, you guys. It's been fun.
It's been fun. It's been,
you guys are great. Your 15-year-old sister's probably going to be traumatized. So. I picture her sharing this with a psychiatrist someday on a couch.
Yes.
I went to see these people, and they were crazy. And they talked about, oh my gosh, I can't even tell you what they said.
I picture her essay when she goes back to school at the end of the month. What I did on my summer vacation. The failure paper, just because they won't even believe you.
Oh my gosh.
This was supposed to be a true story, Kelsey, not fabricating.
All right.
Okay, this email says, hey all, I love the show. My problem is my wife is chronically late for everything.
Okay.
I knew this when I dated her. I even told her that she would be late for her own wedding. She got upset when I said that, but guess what?
She was late for her own wedding.
30 minutes, yep. In many ways, I've been able to come to grips with this, except in one area. She is always making me late for church. Oh, not for the service, because we're there before the service. I'm part of the ministry team at the church, and I need to be at the church at least 30 minutes before the service. Mm-hmm. We typically arrive 10 minutes or less before the service, which is causing problems. The pastor and his wife have also brought this issue up with my wife, but it seems every service it's the same old thing. We have only one car and live 5 miles from church, so it's a little far for me to walk in a suit. I have considered just leaving her at home on the service day just to prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
I get the kids ready for the service to free her up, so she's just got to get herself ready, apparently.
What'd she say?
But I'm concerned that since I'm the assistant pastor, it might cause a problem of optics with the lay people if he leaves the wife at home.
Grow up, Harry, you big wuss. Look, I'm a pastor. I don't see how you guys live the way you live. Always in fear of what people think.
Well, she wasn't ready. She's at home today. Why would that be a problem?
The optics, you know, the people in the church, and what are they going to think? You know what? I would rather not be in ministry than live like that.
I would too.
Now, I'm in ministry, and we have a kind of church where we don't live like that, and first of all, we don't play those games. It's hard to imagine people still play those stupid games.
Oh,
our church
they
doesn't.
Do
you know,
all over the place.
You know how many people in our church probably don't even know who my wife is?
Yeah, especially as big as what your church is.
You know, we don't play the game. My wife has to be a certain way, and we have to do a certain way because people might think, you know what I do? I would have a very reasonable, but not yelling, screaming kind of, when everything is total great, she's in the best mood, and you're a million miles from church, and you're middle of the week, and just say, Susie, I got to tell you something. You're driving me crazy with the late thing. I am going to leave this Sunday morning at exactly 8 o'clock. If you're not ready, I will leave with her. I love you.
But you're getting left behind.
But I'm going to leave you behind.
And I tell you, it would probably only happen once. And I bet she would be ready.
I don't know. She might be
a
psycho crazy woman and driving crazy and have a big fit. But you know, I would just leave her. You can't be more fair than that. You can't all of a sudden say, I'm leaving in 4 minutes. Wait, I'm not ready. You know that? Okay.
No.
But you know ahead of time, I'm leaving at exactly 8 o'clock. And you get up and it's 7 o'clock. I said, remember, I'm leaving in an hour. Okay, and 45 minutes. We're going to leave in 45 minutes. and then I got a half. I'm leaving at half. You know, whatever. It's 5 minutes. I am going to leave. In fact, I'm going to go get in the car and start it up.
I'm leaving.
At exactly
I'm leaving
8
now.
O'clock. I am leaving. And then you leave. It's, I don't know what else you can ask from her for that. If she still can't pull that off, you go with that. Don't make a big deal of it. Don't make, we hate each other. And just if anybody in your church says, where's your wife? Say, I left her. She wasn't ready to go.
She wasn't ready.
You know, we've talked about it a million times. Make a joke of it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what kind of job you have. I'd hate your job. I'd hate you. If I had your job, that I had to be afraid of what the church leadership thought because my wife wasn't there right at 8 o'clock. Man, would I hate your job. But it's your job. You feel called of God, God bless you for it. I'm just telling myself personally, I would rather clean toilets. I'd go do something else. I would go do something. Yes. I wouldn't do it. That I'd,
he did right. I suspect I'm going to be told off about this. The more I type, the more certain I am of it. And then he said, I know I need a wambulance. I'm just not certain what an appropriate consequence is.
You get a goat. You've been goated.
Just
all right.
Leave without her one day and
just
see what happens.
Leave without her. So what?
See what happens.
But let her know. Say, baby, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you really love me? Yeah, you know, like Jesus asked.
Yes,
Peter,
exactly.
Peter, do you really love me? Lord, you know I love you. Just say, do you really love me? Yes, I do. Are you going to love me when I leave you at 8 o'clock this Sunday? Oh, you wouldn't dare. Yes, I'm going to. I'm going to leave you. I don't think you'll be ready, but I'm going to leave. Will you still love me? I mean, it's at some point, have fun with it. I mean,
I
don't know.
You have to have fun with it. Don't
kind of lighten up. Don't make. I just want you to know. I am going to leave at 8 o'clock. Talk about it on Monday. Talk about it on Tuesday. Talk about it on Wednesday. Talk about it on Thursday. Talk about it on Friday. Talk about it on Saturday. Talk about it Sunday morning. Until the minute you leave, I'm leaving at 8 o'clock.
And then
are you still
going to
leave me? And then you leave
bus
at 8
leaves
o'clock.
In an hour. Bus leaves in 45 minutes.
You're gone. You just leave. And if she, after all that, refuses to be ready at 8, she's just being a witch.
Yeah. And then you got more issues than just my wife is slow to get ready for church.
It's way beyond that. She, you know, I mean, come on. You know you have the same problem.
Yeah. And at some
point,
lady, you know, get up 50 minutes early.
Honestly.
Wash your hair the night before, whatever you need to do. Why would you continually keep doing this to your husband to torture him?
I don't know.
Why would you do that? It seems a little bit silly to me.
It's fixed pretty quick to me, I would think.
You know.
And leave her at home. You've rehearsed it all week. Do you love me? Be sweet. Buy her some flowers. I say, do you love me, baby? Yes, I do. Are you going to love me when I leave you at 8 o'clock Sunday? Bring her some chocolates. Do you love me? Yeah. You're still going to love me when I leave you at 8 o'clock on Sunday? I'm serious. I would keep her. And at 8 o'clock, you leave her. It's just that simple. This is easy to fix. Yes. Quit. Wah, wah, wah.
Stop whining.
For heaven's sakes. You got to get in control. You lack discipline. Listen to Arnold. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Who also lack discipline.
Yeah.
It's kind of ironic, isn't it?
Talk about a guy lacking discipline. For heaven's sakes, Arnold. What were you thinking? Goodness gracious. That's all crazy and insane.
Trust me.
Yeah, I don't think so,
no,
Arnold.
Not anymore, Arnold.
Judgment Day is inevitable. Oh,
yes. That we believe.
Your confusion is not rational.
No, it's rational. You're being a slime bag. Okay, you guys, see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.